Now it's time for WGXC's Congressional Report, tracking the votes, words, and actions of Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck representing the 19th Congressional District, and Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam from the 20th Congressional District. The 538.com website reports that, so far, the first-term congressperson Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 0% of the time. Since Democrats took over the House of Representatives in January, Tonko also votes with Trump's positions 0% of the time. In the previous congressional session, Tonko voted with Trump 22.6% of the time. Congress was not in session this past week, and both Tonko and Delgado held town meetings locally. Tonko held a climate forum at Hudson Valley Community College on May 28th. WOOC's Mark Dunley heard some of the remarks of the congressperson there, who represents Albany County and other parts of the Capital Region.
Approximately 2 years ago, I sat down with my staff and constructed a plan to build and advance a platform for comprehensive climate legislation through the House of Representatives as the ranking member on the Subcommittee of Environment and Climate Change. At that time, we did not know what the outcome of the 2018 elections would be. So we worked with what we did know. First, that climate change is already doing us very real harm. We are battered by more extreme weather, very obvious to the naked eye. We are sicker, less secure financially, and less safe in the world because of climate change. Second, climate action has been historically unpopular. Very few national leaders wanted to risk moving a comprehensive climate plan. Third, we knew that comprehensive climate action had made it through the House before. On June 26th of 2009, House members Henry Waxman of California and Ed Markey of Massachusetts advanced a significant climate bill through the House. That measure was not perfect, but it would have given us a pathway for emissions reductions with certainty. Finally, and most importantly, we know that we cannot afford to fail again. This month, for the first time in human history, our planet's atmosphere has had more than 415 parts per million of carbon dioxide. Science is now telling us that the consequences of climate pollution will be worse than we had previously expected, and that we have less time to stave off those looming damages. The nation must adopt science-based targets that put us on a path toward achieving net zero emissions by no later than mid-century. Once we agree on the targets, we can craft the policies to get us there as soon and as quickly as possible. The targets we set and the solutions we pursue must be based on science. Second, we all acknowledge the cost of climate change, but we need to recognize the opportunities of transitioning our economy to one that is cleaner, one that is healthier, and one that is safer. We have the opportunity to create millions of good-paying jobs by deploying clean energy, growing a domestic advanced manufacturing base, and building and modernizing our nation's infrastructure. The transition to a clean energy economy does not need to be thought of as a bad thing. Mitigation requires federal investments. That means funding to help every sector of our economy in its efforts to decarbonize. Broadly speaking, our mitigation plan should include investments in R&D for all energy technologies, incentives and standards for efficiency, deployment of clean energy generation, supported by a modernized grid and coupled with greater electrification, and carbon dioxide removal in the form of technological and natural solutions. Promote a just and equitable transition. We all know our nation has a terrible history of environmental injustices, and these communities are the most susceptible to climate damages. It is a time to put people, especially vulnerable people, first. That means promoting community-based solutions to engage and partner with people that have historically been ignored.
That was Representative Paul Tonko speaking at a climate-only town hall meeting on May 28th. Dan Friedman in the Albany Times-Union reports that after Special Counsel Robert Mueller pointed out May 29th that it is up to Congress to impeach a president who has clearly committed crimes, one of the Hudson Valley representatives in the U.S. House of Representatives changed their opinion. Now Antonio Delgado and Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrats, and Republican Elise Stefanik are all against impeachment, and Paul Tonko is in favor of beginning an impeachment inquiry. Quote, "I did not come to Washington to impeach the president," unquote, said Representative Antonio Delgado, Democrat from Rhinebeck. Quote, however, I also did not come here to have the president steamroll Congress's constitutional duty to protect the rule of law and pursue the truth wherever that might lead, unquote. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from Schuylerville, agreed impeachment is not required, but only commented on Mueller listing Russian interference in the 2016 elections. Quote, there was clear and intentional meddling in our elections by Russia, and Congress must hold them accountable, unquote, Stefanik said. Quote, that's why I have already introduced four bills this Congress to combat Russian interference in our democracy, unquote. On May 28th, Democrat Paul Tonko held a town hall meeting only about climate change at Hudson Valley Community College. He did not address impeachment there and has only rarely commented on the Mueller report. On May 9th, Tonko, who represents Albany County and other counties, said, quote, the special counsel's team found ample evidence of troubling and possibly illegal activity by the Trump campaign, including numerous actions that could amount to obstruction of justice, unquote. But the congressperson had not at that time endorsed impeachment. But on June 3rd, Tonko posted on Facebook that he had changed his mind. Quote, after careful review of the evidence and testimony currently available, and in service to my oath, it is my judgment that Congress needs to accept the baton being handed to us by now former special counsel Mueller and open an impeachment inquiry to more fully assess the constitutional implications of seemingly criminal actions by the president and his campaign and to determine whether formal impeachment charges need to be filed, unquote. On May 22nd, Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, a Democrat in the southern Hudson Valley, said, quote, stay the course, unquote, referring to the current plan from Democratic leadership in the U.S. House to continue to investigate the president without calling it impeachment. After Mueller spoke May 29th, Maloney said, quote, I have one simple request. Read the report. Listen to it on tape. Call my office and we'll read it to you, unquote. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who is also running for president, stepped up her calls for impeachment hearings after Mueller spoke May 29th. Quote, the White House has repeatedly stonewalled Congress's ability to take basic fact-finding steps and make an informed decision, unquote, Gillibrand said in a statement. Quote, combined with the fact that Robert Mueller clearly expects Congress to exercise its constitutional authority and take steps that he could not, it's time for Republicans and Democrats to begin impeachment hearings and follow the facts wherever they may lead, unquote. New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, has not called for impeachment. Schumer said May 29th, quote, or no, excuse me, Robert Mueller said May 29th, quote, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so, unquote. While Paul Tonko came out in favor of the House of Representatives beginning an impeachment inquiry, Antonio Delgado spent time answering questions about why he is not in favor of beginning the impeachment process. Delgado held two town hall meetings last week, May 28th in Ulster County and June 1st in Schoharie County. At the latter event, Delgado spent the first 30 minutes answering questions from constituents about impeachment-related matters.
The issue is a complicated one. Here's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The report comes out after a couple years of investigation. The findings in the report, as I'm sure you know, Volume 1, it talks about no conclusion, can't any evidence to find conspiracy or coordination. That's what it says. Let's just deal with the facts. That's what it says. The second volume says, can't tell you for sure. Can't exonerate him. I would if I could, but can't tell you for sure. And we also found out, it says in the report, because of the Department of Justice, the DOJ policy, even if I could, I wouldn't. I'm not able to because of the memo. Then Barr comes out. Barr comes out, totally muddies the water, and says, well, you know what? I don't think there is an obstruction. This is the AG, confirmed AG, who walks out on national TV at a press conference, delivers a four-page summary of a 400-page document, and says, nothing to see here. That is the general impression that the vast majority of Americans in this country have been made privy to. It's the everyday American. That is the information that you are now receiving. Process matters for a host of reasons. process is how you begin to inform people about what actually the report says. It allows people to see through the muddiness that's been created and enables us, hopefully, which is my goal, to get to a point where this is not just a partisan-based outcome. This is an American-based outcome, grounded in our shared concern for our security, our shared concern for the rule of law. That takes time. Factor in that if we say, now, as you suggest, where does it go? The Senate does not look like it's going to move in the direction that it sounds like you want to go. That being the case, we don't have to rush anywhere. More important is to have a process where Congress is able to investigate thoroughly at every single turn. And as I alluded to in my remarks, my opening statement, or whatever you want to call it, my introduction, the fact is, by building the investigative process, by getting Mueller, for example, to do his short, brief press conference, if we get Mueller in to testify extensively about what he saw in the report, beyond what he says, but the underlying documents, which, by the way, we don't even have yet, the unredacted report, we don't have yet, these are things that need to come out and need to be flushed out to make sure that when we ultimately get to a position where choices like the one you are talking about have to be made, the case has been made to bear and laid to bear. I'm very much, and I'll conclude with this, there's a difference between, because you mentioned law, procedure and substance, right? To be a democracy, it's not just being right in substance, right? Being morally right in substance. It's also about being right in procedure. Due process, how you unfold, how you pursue the truth is just as much an indication of your moral compass as what you're hoping to defend in the process or protect in the process. Those two things go hand in hand in my book. And so I respect the process. We have an obligation to follow that process. Now listen, if the president continues to put a curtain over the executive branch at every single turn, well then, the dynamics do change. But I feel like we don't have to assume within the first week or two of the report coming out, or month or so, that that is the course we're going to take for the foreseeable future. We can let these things happen for a while and then decide.
But you haven't answered my question. If you do not start impeachment inquiry, that leaves open the possibility for him to issue pardons. And we all know full well that he wants to do that.
But if he were to do that...
He can.
Let me ask you this. But if he were to do that, is your point that that somehow would make his case a stronger one?
No. Actually, it wouldn't let him get off the hook. Nothing will happen. Barr will not charge him. And as you said, the Senate will still keep on not worrying about it, and it'll just go on like it is.
Right.
So nothing will have happened. He would have got away with it. By having a... I'm just telling you the story here, and you can read the Constitution. And
I'll do you this. I'll revisit that point. And
okay,
sure
it's in the
impeachment
area. Because
I tell you, from my vantage point,
okay,
even if that were the case, right? And I'm not going to sit here and say,
I
can read the tea leaves. Mm-hmm. But even if that were the case, that would be a radical admission at that point on his part.
So?
Well, I think that's a pretty important development that would not go unacknowledged by the body electorate.
There's already been a dozen of them.
Yeah, no one's debating that.
So he'll get away with it then if you don't.
I think the point that we should be thinking about fundamentally is how do we get to a place where the truth is laid to bear? From your perspective, from your point of view, you see it a very clear way, which I respect 100%.
Okay.
But I can tell you something. There are a lot of folks out there who are still processing the information or haven't even really been able to engage with the information. And I'm thinking about not just the short term, not just now. I'm thinking about the long-term health of the country and the stability of the country. And we have a window here of time to work within. We do have a window of time to try to figure out how to maneuver this in a way that gets us to a point where we maximize consensus building without short-circuiting the process in a fashion that can ultimately do more harm in terms of our long-term dynamics as a country. That's just my personal belief. You know, that's just how I see it. That being said, I don't dismiss in any way, shape, or form your concern. Do not dismiss in any way, shape, or form the urgency with which you feel. There is some deep, profound matters that are at hand right now when it comes to our Constitution and its preservation. And I'm fully awake when it comes to that.
I hope so.
That was Representative Antonio Delgado at a June 1st town hall meeting in Schoharie County. Tonko and Delgado both do not list any local events on their websites this coming week. Tonko never lists any events, and Delgado only lists events that his staff organizes and not just events that he attends.